Well, it's good to see you all tonight and your families and your kids. If you're new visiting with us, thanks for being here. We appreciate you being with us. The end of World War II, there were still prison camps that many American soldiers and Allied soldiers were in Nazi Germany. And as you can imagine, at the end of the war and all through the war, the Nazis didn't treat their prisoners of war very well. They were sick. They were dying. Many of them did die. And yet there was a particular story of one of the camps that the Allied troops were at that one day the Nazi soldiers began to see happiness out of the Allied troops. And they began to notice over the period of a day or two them singing songs, them talking in ways that they hadn't heard them because they had really been defeated. And so the Nazis determined that they would find out why that they were so happy in the midst of such awful circumstances day after day. And so what they found out was one of the soldiers, when he came, he had smuggled in a transistor radio. And they had been listening to the news on the war, and they found out that the Allies had won. And it was just a matter of time before the Allied troops were there to liberate them. And on that particular day, nothing had yet changed. Their circumstances were just as bleak. Men were still dying, and yet they had hope. See, good news is powerful. Good news changes things. Good news awakens hope. And you and I are surely not in a Nazi prison camp by any means. But in other ways, we are very much like those people living in that camp. The Bible says that we are aliens and sojourners here on this earth. We live in a broken world. You don't have to open your phone for very long on your news app and find what happened today in Bethlehem. The people died in Bethlehem, the very place where Jesus brought peace. You don't have to look very far on your app to see that churches are threatened this week to hold services. You don't have to look very far in your own life to see the brokenness of this world and the camp that we live in, the sadness, the grief, the unrest, the pain, uncertainty, the broken relationships that may exist in your own family that you share here tonight, family dysfunction. Maybe this season, because it's Christmas, brings up hard memories of people lost or relationships broken. Or it's just the Christmas chaos. I have a solution for that: Amazon Prime. Maybe Amazon Now. I haven't used it yet. I don't know. Is it good? But I don't have a solution for these other things, an earthly solution for these other things. But though we still live in the camp, good news has broken in, hasn't it? We sing about it. While it may not change our circumstances, our current circumstances that much, it changes everything about the way that we live in this camp. It brings us an expectant, a sure hope. Or should I say, He brings us hope. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 8 through 21. There's a Bible, should be some Bibles in the seat in front of you. I think the page number is 732. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to see the good news and what it is and who it is. And then I want us to pay particular attention to the response of the good news from the shepherds and the angels. William, would you come up and read that for us? Somebody have a mic. You got one here.
And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.
Thanks, buddy. The great theologian Linus from the Peanuts said to Charlie Brown of this passage, "This is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." And he was right. So what is the good news? If you look at the text there in chapter 2, it speaks of this good news. Good news is literally the word gospel. The good news of great joy. The gospel of great joy will be for all the people. So this is the gospel news. What does this news produce? Look at the verses there with me. At first, it produces a great joy. And we find out in Scripture that this joy that we have is not found in circumstantial things or things that we have, but it's found in God Himself. Who is this for? Who is this good news for? According to the text, it's for all people. It's not just the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, right? It's for those in Bethlehem, the lowly. It's not just for the Jewish people, but it's for all people. If you remember back in the Old Testament, Abraham, God promised Abraham land, seed, and blessing. And he said about that seed and blessing that all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. And this is for all people. That the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, God becoming man, is for all people. Aren't you glad? Look around. We have Jew and Greek. When did this happen? The scripture said it happened on this day. Where did it happen? It happened in the city of David. Kids, maybe your parents talked to you a little bit about what's imaginary and what's real. I'm not going to bust any bubbles tonight, parents, I promise you. Not Christmas or anything like that. But think about it. When you read Narnia, your parents say to you, this is imaginary. Or maybe you're a little older, Mother or Middle Earth, Lord of the Rings, this is imaginary. Or maybe you went to the movies the other day in a galaxy far, far away, and that's imaginary. But this is real. This is, kids, this is a real story on a real day in a real place that you can go and see. This happened. This is real. So what is the good news? The good news is that this baby was born, but not just any baby. Look at what the text says. The text says that he was a savior. Someone who needs a savior is someone who needs to be saved from something. And the Bible says that we need to be saved from our sins. So this baby was a savior. He was the forgiver of sins. He was Christ our Lord. So Christ our Lord, that he's Lord of all. So the very one who created all things became a child, born in a manger for you and me. God with us. What a gift that is. Kids, that's better than the Xbox you want for Christmas. It's better than the American Girl doll that's on your list. It's the greatest gift that you could ever have. And I'll tell you this, kids, the greatest gift is not a thing, it's a person. And it meets your greatest need to be forgiven and to have a relationship with God. See, a gift is something that's given to you freely and you don't have to pay it back. I mean, can you imagine going to your piggy bank tomorrow morning, kids, and pulling out your money and giving your parents money for the gift that they got you? You wouldn't do that. This is a free gift by God's grace. There's a story of a woman in a mall, the pastor tells, and he says that he saw this woman in Christmas season with their four-year-old kid in the mall. And as he approached, the lady said, Pastor, I want to get you something for Christmas. Please let me buy you something, anything. And the pastor humbly said, you know, I really don't need anything this Christmas, and thank you for the offer. And so they went back and forth, and the whole time this little four-year-old is pulling on her mom's dress and saying, let's go, let's go. And so the mom looks down at the child and looks up at her pastor and says, do you want this little one? And they laugh and they go out. And the pastor goes to his car. He's an older pastor, and he was glad that he didn't have that child for a few days. And he sits in his car, and it hits him. that that's exactly what God has done for us. Do you want my son? He's yours. He's been mine, but now I want to give him to you. I release him to you. He can be yours freely, and you don't have to pay a dime. See, a gift is something voluntarily given, and it's free. See, there aren't really words to describe that kind of gift. Even for the Apostle Paul, who was probably one of the best wordsmiths and theologians of his day. And you know what he said? He had no adjective to describe the gift of Jesus. The gift of Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he said that this gift of Jesus is indescribable. Without description. So we've seen what the good news is. It's Christ and him becoming a man. And living this life, God with us. And let's look at the responses to the good news and receive a little encouragement tonight about maybe how our response should be to this wonderful news of a Savior, Christ the Lord, as we live in this camp, as we live in this world that is broken, in a time where we need hope. Look at the responses to the good news in verse 13 and 14. Have you ever noticed with the angels in this passage, there's one angel that delivers the good news that Christ has come. And then there's thousands of angels, an army angel. That's what an angel host is an angel army. So a battalion of angels have to respond. So one angel delivers the message of the good news, and thousands of angels rejoice and respond and say, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We sing this song, Silent Night, but I'm not sure how silent this night was. So the first response of the angels is worship. They worship. And what's amazing about that to me is that there's a sense in which the angels don't have a full picture of this good news. I mean, they've been perfect. They've been worshiping the Lord all through eternity. And they worship here, but they don't have the full picture. They've never experienced the grace and the mercy that we do because of the cross, because Christ died in our place. He became a man, he lived a perfect life, and he died in our place, and we receive mercy and grace that we don't deserve. They've never experienced that. And yet, at Jesus' birth, what do? Thousands of them worship God and rejoice over this coming King. I wonder what that would mean for us. Our response to Jesus coming and dwelling among us ought to be worship. Ought to be worship. You see it with the shepherds as well. You see them when they go back. What do? They worship and glorify God and tell all of those around. My prayer tonight for us is that we would worship in the way the angels did, in the way that here in this text the shepherds did, the way that Mary did. Mary said, behold, God, my Savior, when she's speaking of Jesus. Or maybe even perhaps the way the Magi did. When you think of the Magi, you think about the gifts, especially you essential oils people, you think about the gifts that they brought, right? Trying to wake you up a little. The gifts that they brought, but remember the sequence of the passage. What's the first thing they do? They bow down and worship the King. Worship ought to be our response to Christmas. So the first response is worship. Keep looking at the shepherds. Another appropriate response is this. It's witness. Do you see in this passage what the shepherds do? They get the message from the angel and in the presence of God. And then what do? They go to Bethlehem and they tell Mary and Joseph and everyone there what they had heard from the angel in the presence of God. And they go on their way, continuing to praise God and make him known. See, good news brings hope to the hearers, but good news is only good news if you share it. By way of application, how many of you guys have seen Charlie Brown Christmas? Spoiler alert, close your ears if you haven't. Charlie Brown Christmas, what's Charlie Brown's problem? His problem is that he is depressed. He's depressed because of self-centeredness of Christmas, or the, in his words, over-commercialization of Christmas. He gets gifts and it doesn't really do anything for him year after year, and he sees it as just so selfish and mundane. And he's looking, therefore, for the meaning of Christmas, and what does he do? He goes to get counsel from the psychiatrist, Lucy. Lucy's all about real estate. That's what she really wanted. And so Charlie Brown pays her for counsel. And at the end of that counsel, she basically says, you need to go do something. So why don't you go direct to the nativity play? He goes on to Snoopy, and he's just disgusted by his self-focus on Christmas as he builds his doghouse. And he goes to Sally, and Sally, his sister, says, you just need to write a note to Santa. But finally, he gets through the play or in the play, and he's still trying to find the meaning of Christmas. And little Linus whispers, I know the meaning of Christmas. And the lights come down, and what does Linus do? He reads this passage that we're in tonight and reminds, or maybe for the first time, tells Charlie Brown what the meaning of Christmas is. The meaning of Christmas, the good news of Christmas, is that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's the meaning of Christmas. So I wonder where you're at tonight. Maybe you're feeling like Charlie Brown. Maybe you're depressed about the over-commercialization or the lines that you have to face when getting gifts. Maybe it's likely it's deeper than that. Maybe it's something in your life that has set you in a direction away from God, and you're here, but you're not really here. You wonder why God allowed things to happen in your life. Maybe you're in a place like him, and I would just ask you, where do you find the solution to your problems? Where have you tried to find the solutions to your problems? The answer is Jesus. That's all I got. That's all we have. Jesus, God came near. Emmanuel. Jesus is the answer for Charlie Brown and for you. And maybe you find yourself in a place also where there's people in your life that need to hear this message, that need to hear, like the shepherds told the story, they witnessed what they had seen and heard. Maybe you're like Linus. Maybe you need to share the good news of Christ, that he came to this earth and he lived a perfect life and he died a death that you and I can't die, so that you may live. Good news of Jesus is our hope and our salvation. The appropriate response to this good news is worship and witness. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son, that he's a gift that you voluntarily have given us and that we can't repay. Father, we confess that we are a people who still live in this camp. We still live in this world that is broken. And most of the time, our circumstances don't change all that much. We still have pain. We still have suffering. But you have given us hope. You've given us hope in Christ. So we praise you for that. We praise you that this message of the gospel, this truth about Jesus, is for all people, not just some. That you don't discriminate, but it's open to all. Especially those who are in need, in deep need, who know their need, who feel their need of a Savior. I pray that we would be a people who live in light of the hope that we have in Christ, that we might worship and witness this season. Make us a little bit more, Lord, tonight, like the shepherds who tell this good news to others. And let us join the host of heaven in making much of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.